Amen. God bless you. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts chapter 16, the book of Acts chapter 16. I appreciate all the men who came out yesterday to help with the men's work day. It's looking good out there. It's good news and bad news. The good news is it was great weather, good food, all that. The bad news is it's not finished. So what we're going to do is have just another Saturday work day this coming Saturday. If some men can come out and help us. We have a little bit left, just the rest of those pavers and a few more rock to put out and all that. If you can help us this coming Saturday, we'll start at 8 and try to do this again and hopefully get this part of it finished. If you can help us with that, that'll be great. Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read two verses for our time's sake today. I'm preaching from verses 16 all the way down to verse 34, but our text we're going to take from verse number 23. We've come to our night scene series. This is another night scene that has taken place in the Word of God. A great, great scene that many of you are aware of and are very familiar with. Maybe you've not looked at it in this light before, I'm not sure, but we're trusting the Lord to give us a great meeting. Acts 16:23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. This is talking about Paul and Silas, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Again, it says they had many stripes laid upon them. They're thrown into prison. The jailer is given a charge, and when he hears the charge, he puts them into the inner prison, which is the isolation chamber, the maximum security of that day. And may I say that the prisons of that day compared to this day were a whole lot worse than what prisoners go through today. And I preach to you this morning on this subject. When life doesn't seem fair, when life doesn't seem fair. I was studying this in my office yesterday, and the Lord came to meet with me and broke my heart in my study. Just thinking about how life so many times seems to be unfair. By the end of this message, you'll see how God works even at times like that. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us this morning. Guide our thoughts heavenward. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today we come to another one of the mighty scenes taking place in the Word of God at night. We've been reminded over and over again as we've been traveling through this series together how our great God is not only the God of the day, but our great God is also the God of the night. God works in mighty ways, not just in the light, but also in the darkness. Life is filled with things that seem to be unfair at first thought. As a matter of fact, I ask you, has life ever thrown something at you that just seemed to be unfair? If you're sitting there today and your answer is yes, I've had something in my life thrown at me that way where I look around at it and it says, that's just not fair. That's not fair to me. I don't understand that. This makes no sense to me. Well, if your answer is yes to any of that, this is the situation that's going on in this chapter. Life at this moment for Paul and Silas, at first glance, it seems to be very unfair to them. But by the end of this story, we'll see the Lord has come through again for His precious children. And today I want to share with you three thoughts from this passage, and I trust that these three thoughts will help you as we dwell on this thought of when life seems unfair. When something happens that you don't basically choose for yourself or whatever the case may be, and it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it wasn't supposed to end up this way. This is not fair. This is what we're talking about. Number one, I want to give you the report. Let's notice verses 16 and following. In other words, let's see what was happening. The Bible says in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. By the way, that was not true. That's a false accusation. And teach customs, verse 21, which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Wait a minute, that's not fair. They're not even listening to Paul and Silas. This is not fair, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, in other words, they beat the daylights out of them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Right there you have the report of what I'm talking about. A certain young lady who was possessed with a spirit was bringing her masters much gain, much money in her soothsaying. She followed Paul and others doing the will of God. In other words, Paul and Silas were doing the will of God, and this young lady was following them and saying, there's the servants of the living God that can show us the way of salvation. I didn't understand at first why Paul got grieved at that, because she's telling the truth here. Why was he grieved? The point that came out here is that while what she said was true, others knew who she was and what she stood for. And my friends, even though evil people speak truth, their character makes suspect everything they say. And once the wicked get in the door by using the truth sometimes, then their lies can spread like wildfire. And G. Campbell Morgan put it this way, the devil's methods of opposition are those of alliance and antagonism. And the only serious one is the first. Let's beware of it. You remember when Nehemiah was building the wall and the enemies came and said, come down and let us join forces? And he said, why should I come down to you? It's the same principle. This girl needs Jesus, and even though she's telling the truth, her character throws suspect on everything she's saying. And it could be that if they accept that, then people would start to believe her. So everything else she said that would not be truth, they would accept it as truth. Are you with me what I'm trying to say? This is why he got grieved, and he turned around, and he commanded the Spirit to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. That same hour, the Spirit came out. May I say this to you? Paul was simply doing the will of God. And all he did was help this young girl in a marvelous way. However, when her masters saw that they could make no more gain off of her, they caught Paul and Silas, brought them to the marketplace and the rulers, and falsely accused them. And after hearing these people, the multitude rose up against Paul and Silas. The rulers came and tore off their clothes and picked up something to beat the daylights out of them. Laid many stripes upon them. And the Bible says after they laid stripes upon them, they cast them in the prison. You know what that word cast means? It means to throw something with no concern with where it lands. It's like throwing a bag of garbage out. In other words, all these men have done is help that girl. All these men have done, if I'm talking about, has delivered her from a demonic spirit. They've done nothing wrong. And yet whenever these rulers who are greedy didn't get their money, they start to falsely accuse them. It's not even the truth. And these magistrates come and they don't get their testimony. They just rip their clothes off, begin to beat the daylights out of them, take them like a bag of garbage, throw them into the prison house. This is terrible. It's interesting that they commanded the jailer to keep them safely. In other words, they're being treated like the worst criminals on planet Earth. They go to the jailer and say, now you keep these two real securely. These guys are criminals. You keep them. So the Bible says the jailer took them and put them into the inner prison. Says he thrust them in there. You know what that means? It's the same word as cast. This jailer has no concern for Paul, has no concern for Silas, and he picks them up like a bag of garbage, throws them into the isolation chamber, throws them into the maximum security ward. And that wasn't enough. He put their feet in stocks. He locked their feet. By the way, these stocks were used as punishment and absolute security. Now I ask you, when Paul and Silas and Luke here are walking through, and Luke is telling this story, are you listening to me? He says they took Paul and Silas. Paul just turned around and said, come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. He was helping her. He was blessing her. God was changing this young girl's life. They get upset. They take him. They don't even hear him. They listen to the lies about him, and they take him and Paul. I'm talking about him and Silas. Strip him down. Strip them both down. Take something. Beat the daylights out of him. Leave stripes all over him. Throw them into the prison like a bag of garbage. Tells the jailer, you keep them, and you keep them securely. He picks them up again, throws them in. No telling how much pain these two men are in with their backs ripped open, being thrown down on the ground. They take their feet and lock them in stocks. I ask you, does that seem fair to you? Does that seem fair? Is that something that you choose for yourself? I tell you today, that all they had done is deliver this girl from her tormentor. They were following God and doing the will of God. They were accused falsely and attacked quickly. To our eyes, life did not seem fair at this time to Paul and Silas. I ask you a question. You ever been there? I ask you a question. Are you there now? Has life thrown you something and you look at it and say, that's just not fair? That's the report. Secondly, let me give you the response. Look at verse number 25. Let me ask you this question before we read it. What would you do? What would you do? All you've done is God's work. All you've done is help deliver a girl from bondage. They have lied about you, they've mistreated you, and they've believed it, and they've beaten the daylights out of you, and they're treating you like a criminal of the first degree. And they've locked your feet in stocks. How would you respond? Let's notice what they did in verse 25, and at midnight. Glory, I'm getting blessed right here. Convicted. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. It's midnight in that prison. Glory. I'm feeling pretty good right here. It's midnight in that prison. They've been treated terribly, they've been treated unfairly. Glory, isn't it amazing how God has you right where you need to be, brother? I'm telling you. They're sitting in the maximum security cell. Their backs are beaten to a bloody pulp. Their feet locked in stocks. Life doesn't seem fair to them at this time. And while their flesh was probably calling out for justice, what was Paul and Silas doing? How will they respond to this current situation in their life? Will they complain about it? Call upon God to judge these people? No. 1,000 times no. They are rather praying. They're singing praises to God. Think about it. Those other prisoners were there. The Bible says the other prisoners heard them. We'll talk about that in a minute. But who, no doubt, those other prisoners, they were used to hearing blasphemies, especially when they would bring some prisoners in and throw them into the isolation chamber. Can you imagine those prisoners looking and saying, boy, those must be two bad dudes right there. I mean, good night. They're putting them in the isolation chamber. They're putting them in maximum security. And typically at midnight, can you just imagine the blasphemies that was coming from those isolation chambers from other prisoners? But this particular night at midnight, they heard something different. They didn't hear blasphemies. They heard a sacred concert coming from that isolation chamber. They don't want to go back in time, pretend we're sitting there in prison. You're sitting there as a prisoner. And they bring these two men who have been beaten badly. You don't know what's happened. And now they throw them in like a bag of garbage. And they say, and we're overhearing this, I'm ad-libbing some of this and so on. Jailer, you listen, put them into maximum security. You make sure you keep them safe. And he picks them up and throws them in there. What has happened certainly is not fair to them, but these other prisoners don't know that. And we hear something interesting come from that cell at midnight. These men are praying loud enough for the prisoners to hear. And they're singing praises loud enough for the prisoners to hear. This goes to show that they were not ashamed to give glory to God in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their trouble when life just didn't seem fair. See, my friends, Paul and Silas live for a greater purpose than their own comfort. Here they are in pain. They've been beaten. Later on in this chapter, we see the Philippian jailer washing their stripes. Their back is open. Their flesh is in pain. But they're still praising God. See, external things cannot take our peace away. And it should not take our prayers and praise away either. Did you hear what I just said? External things cannot take our peace. And it should not take our prayers and praise. Easy to preach, Jody. Hard to live, sir. I know that. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Psalm 42:8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Job 35:10, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" The Bible says in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Charles Spurgeon put it this way, "Any fool can sing in the day. It's easy to sing when we read the notes by daylight, but the skillful singer is he who can sing when there's not a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night come only from God. They are not in the power of men. Having lost in a fire virtually everything they own, the Horatio Spafford family made new plans, including a move from Chicago to France. Mr. Spafford planned the trip for his wife and four daughters to be as trouble-free as possible. To transport him from America to France, he booked passage on a large ship and made sure they had Christians with whom to fellowship en route. He planned to join them in a few weeks later. In spite of much careful preparation, Mr. Spafford's plans suddenly dissolved when the ship carrying his loved ones was rammed by another vessel and sank. Carrying his four beloved daughters to the bottom of the ocean. His wife arrived in Wales safely 9 days later. He's not even aware of this yet. And telegraphed her husband the awful news that she had been saved, but saved alone. And all of their children had drowned. Spafford left Chicago to go and bring his wife home. And as he was on that ship, crossing the Atlantic, the captain came and told him when they were passing over the spot where his daughter's ship had gone down and his four daughters were lying at the bottom of the ocean. At that place, Horatio Spafford took a pen and paper. And while passing over the spots where his daughters drowned, he began to write down, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." During World War II, there was a man by the name of Dr. Viktor Frankl. He was imprisoned by the Nazis because he was a Jew. His wife, children, and parents were all killed in the Holocaust. Every one of them. At one point, the prison guards came to him and took his wedding band and cut it off his finger. Frankl said to himself, and I quote, "You can take away my wife and children. You can strip me of my clothes and freedom. But there's one thing no person can take away from me, and that is my freedom to choose how I will react to what happens to me." Are you listening? It's not what happens. And I know life many times throws curveballs. I know life many times throws something at you that doesn't seem fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. And oh, glory. I think about old Paul and Silas in that inner prison. They've had life beat them up one side and down the other. They've been treated like a bag of garbage, and it's all a bunch of lies. And at midnight, instead of just being silent, they're praying out loud and singing praises to God. Are you listening to me? It's not what happens. It's how you respond to it. It's how you react to it. Oh, it makes me nervous to preach messages like this, as I don't know if God's preparing me for something or not. Oh, I hope not. I hope not. It makes me nervous, I'll guarantee you that. But I know one thing, no matter what life throws at me, as we put out here on this sign, God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. And God's peace, even when you are mistreated, you are treated like a bag of garbage, you have stripes up and down your back, you have lies going around about you, you can still respond right in the glory of God and give God praise and God honor. God can work in the midst of your prison experience. This is why the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 says this. Don't turn to it, just stay right there. "Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Can I tell you that he had thorns in his flesh all the time, if you ask me? It's the same man speaking here. "And for this I besought the Lord thrice, I begged God three times, take this away. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." To put it in modern day terminology, God looked at him and said, "Yes, that is a thorn of Satan. Yes, that's not fair. But I will not remove it. My grace is enough in this. My grace is sufficient in this." And notice how Paul responded. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." How do you respond to life when it throws you a curveball? How do you react to unfair situations? Paul and Silas reacted by turning the prison house into a prayer room and a praise for God. Then let me give you the third thing. Not only the report and the response, but number three, let's notice the result. These dear men of God have been mistreated. Life doesn't seem fair right now for them. However, instead of getting bitter against God or even these men that mistreated them, they've turned their prison into a house of prayer and praise. And they responded this way. We see some wonderful results that took place. First of all, the first result, we've already mentioned this, but I'm going to mention a little bit more. The prisoners heard them. The Bible says in verse 25, notice it now in our text. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know what this word heard means? You know what it means? It carries the idea that somebody's listening intently at something. I mean, they're purposely, intently listening to it. In other words, their response to life not being fair to them caught the attention of others. This goes to show that there were others listening at this time. And may I say, in the same way, we need to understand that when seemingly unfair things happen to us, there are others who are watching and listening to how we respond. It's just the way it is. Dr. Harry Ironside put it this way. The world is watching Christians, and when they see Christians shaken by circumstances, as they themselves are, they conclude that after all, there is very, very little to Christianity. But when they find Christians rising above circumstances and glorying in the Lord, even in deepest trial, then even the unsaved realize the Christian has something in knowing Christ to which they are a stranger. Powerful statement, isn't it? So the first result is the prisoners heard. Number two result, there was a great earthquake. The Bible says in verse number 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. See, in response to Paul and Silas' response to their trial, the Lord God of heaven sent a great earthquake to shake the foundations of that prison. John Phillips put it this way. I like how he put it. Listen to this. Paul and Silas, singing in that cell, were more than stone and mortar could take. The walls and foundation of that prison thought the millennium had come. They clapped their hands and stomped their feet and roared out their joy in an earthquake. It was a mighty moving of God. In other words, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the prison, in the midst of life being unfair, when they responded right and they prayed and they gave God praise inside that prison, God showed up and God shook that place. And I'm telling you that a mighty moving of God happened. And I'm telling you this, Oliver Green put it this way, God's men can be locked in, but God cannot be locked out. Glory to God. This world needs to see a mighty moving of God. This world needs to see a shaking that can only come from the God of the universe. And let me remind you right here that we need to respond right in trials to give God an opportunity to show His mighty power in our lives. Dr. Ironside said this, I have an idea that if there were more joy in tribulation, more triumphing in trouble in our day, we would see more shaking by the power of God. The results of this, the prisoners heard, others are listening and watching. The earth shook and there was a great earthquake. God worked in a mighty way. And number three, this might be something that can encourage you. Result number three is they were set free in prison. They were set free in prison. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. Now as we read on later here in just a moment, we'll see that when the Philippian jailer comes and sees the prison doors open, it's nighttime. He can't see very well, so he thinks all of them have escaped. That's only the logical thing the prisoners would do. But nobody's moved. They're all still in there. Could it be that they didn't want to leave the prison? Could it be that because God showed up there and God shook that place, that they didn't want to go anywhere? You listening to me? Here's the thought the Lord gave me here. The earthquake sent by the mighty hand of God shook the foundations and the prison, and immediately all the prison doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. This means they were set free. And what I'm saying to you is this: they're still in the prison, but they're free. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across? They're still sitting in that prison. They're still inside of it. But God set them free in the middle of the prison. Sound familiar? Let's go back to the book of Daniel and how the three Hebrew boys refused to bow down. And they threw them in the fire, bound. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, how many did we throw in there? Three. He says, I see four loose and walking around. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. They were still in the flame, but they were set free in it. Are you listening to me? You can be sitting in a prison right now, something that you cannot change, something that seems unfair to you, something that you wish you could change, but you can't. All I'm saying to you, you respond right, give God an opportunity, and He can set you free in the middle of your prison. Amen. That's result three. But that's not the greatest of the story. The fourth result is a family was saved through it. We see this in verses 27 and following. Notice this. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The fourth result of their response. They responded right, and God used it, and God showed up, and the other prisoners heard it, and God sent an earthquake to shake it and set them free. But as a result of this unfair situation, and Paul and Silas responding with prayer and praise, the jailer who was in charge of the jail, he woke up and saw the prison doors open, drew his sword, and was going to kill himself. When all of a sudden he heard a loud voice. It was the bag of garbage he just threw in the inner cell. It was the bag of trash he just cast into the isolation chamber. When that same voice said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. As a side note, a hard-hearted man seeking vengeance would just let the jailer kill himself. Amen, friends. But not Paul. Not Paul. The jailer came in trembling. Wouldn't you tremble? God showed up in your workplace. You're unconverted. And he's racked your life up one side and down. I mean, he's rocked it and he's rolled it. I mean, friends, he has shaken your life. And I'm telling you, he sent an earthquake. He comes in trembling, falls down before Paul and Silas. And he called them sirs. That was a great sign of respect. To those who he once just threw into the inner prison like a bag of garbage. And he asked them, what must I do to be saved? See, here's what I'm saying. This jailer knew that these men could show him the way. Paul and Silas told him the truth by telling him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave him the right answer. And that night the Bible says that they spoke the word of God to him. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They gave him and his family the word of God. And this man along with all of his house were saved that night. He took them and washed their stripes. What a change in this man took place. See, we see evidence of the change that had taken place in his heart by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something heartwarming about this sight of this tough jailer who in the beginning of this story, he saw these two brought to him. He had no regard for them. He picked them up and just threw them like a bag of garbage into the isolation chamber and he goes to sleep. Yet God showed up because those two, while this jailer was sleeping, was praying and praising God. God stepped into that prison that night. And this man knew something was going on. And when he heard the truth of the gospel, he got saved. And now this tough jailer is gently washing their stripes. See, salvation had made this crooked man straight. Are you listening to me? It always does. You show me something crooked and says, I've just gotten straight, but it's still crooked. You can't be straight and crooked at the same time. Salvation will prove itself by changing your life. Here we have a man going, get this, from suicide to salvation. All because God worked in the prison where his children responded right during a time when life didn't seem fair. God loves old sinners, and he wants them saved. And sometimes he may allow a time to come in his own children's lives like Paul and Silas to give us an opportunity to respond right while the lost world is watching with prayer and praise so that they can see the mighty power of God displayed and they too will come trembling saying, what do I need to have what you have? Paul and Silas was in a situation where life just didn't seem fair. But they turned to prayer and praise for God. And God did a mighty work that night. See, God's work can progress through difficult challenges. Paul spoke about this time when he spoke in 1 Thessalonians 2:2. Here's what he said. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, could he be referring to this? The Philippian jailer. Could he be referring to this? After that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. As you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. 1 Peter 1:7 and 8 puts it this way, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I give you this statement, I'm coming to a close. A Christian writer made this statement, and I'm closing. Here it is. Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience, has been through affliction and not through happiness. And may God add His blessing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You today. Thank You for this message. This is the message You laid on my heart for this hour. An event taking place at midnight. It's dark outside. Two of Your servants have been badly mistreated. Treated unfairly to our eyes of flesh. But God, even though sin brought this about, I'm talking about on the place of those that beat them, that was not something that You were pleased with. But even in spite of all of that, You were working behind the scenes. Thank You for helping Paul and Silas make the right decision. Thank You for helping Paul and Silas to respond right. And I pray today that You'll help folks who may be in a situation where life just doesn't seem fair. Drive this message home to their hearts. Encourage them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I have three questions for you today. Number one, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, Paul and Silas told this Philippian jailer, right? He didn't say, believe in God. No, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust on Christ. Believe on Christ. Are you trusting Him? I mean, really trusting Him for your salvation? I'm not asking, have you turned over a new leaf? Have you been baptized? Have you trying to live a good life? No, I'm asking, do you know that heaven is your home? Let's stop playing games about this thing. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I do not know Jesus as my Savior. Or maybe you're here saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. Or maybe you're doubting your salvation. You say, Jody, pray for me. See, the only reason Paul and Silas could lift their voice in prayer and praise at this time when life seemed unfair is because they had God in their life. They had a God to praise in it. Do you know Him? Are you saved? Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I'd like to know this God that can shake the world. I'd like to know this God that can give songs in the night. I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. Anybody say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. Let me ask you this question. Is life right now seemingly unfair to you? Are you in a situation right now that you say, you know, when I look at life, it just shouldn't be this way. You understand what I'm asking? It just shouldn't be this way. This is unfair. Have you be honest and say, Jody, I am currently in a situation like that, that when I look at it in the eyes of my flesh, I can say, that's not fair. It just doesn't seem fair. Have you have a situation like that going on? Would you be honest? Raise your hand in the air with mine. Be honest. Put it up big and high. Big and high. That is a lot of hands. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I don't do this often, but I'm going to do it today because that's nothing to be ashamed of, because there are times in every one of our lives when all of us would have to raise our hand to that. So that's why I'm not ashamed to do this. If you just raised your hand to that question, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me just a minute. You're not alone. There's a lot of you. There's a lot of you. God has His way of giving counsel from His Word. It's amazing when God lays messages on my heart. It's amazing. My next response to you, if you're looking at me, Don't be ashamed to look up here, because I'm looking at you. That, listen, there's times in all of our lives when all of us have to be looking. Here's my next question. How are you responding? That's the message. Can I do something? I'm going to come down here on the floor. I'm going to tell you why. We're just alike. We're all flesh. It's not what happens. It's how you respond. You got it? You got it? It's not what happens. It's how you react. You got it? You're getting it? That's the message. And as you go home today, and as you think about this time when life just doesn't seem fair here, it's just unfair. Are you listening to me? When you're going through that, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help you hear some voices from the past, from an inner prison cell. Glory. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will just let you listen in a little bit on a sacred concert taking place in the isolation prison there in Acts chapter 16. If anybody had reason to complain, they did. Anybody had a reason to respond wrong, they did. What are they doing? They're praising God, praying out loud so everybody can hear. God took that prison and shook it that night and set them free in the prison. Saved a family through it and helped others through it all. You got it? I'm going to ask every one of you who are looking at me, if you can and you're willing, and you think God's in it, in just a moment I want you to come to this altar. You don't need to talk to me. If you want to, you can. We'll help you if you need some help. But this is between you and God. It's a great privilege when God speaks. And He's spoken today. Father, help us now, I pray. Guide, lead, and direct. Let's all stand together if you don't mind, with heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take this thought. Use it in a mighty way. Help people to get help today. And to begin to respond right. It's not God's fault. It's an opportunity for God to show yourself mighty. Help us, Lord, to respond right. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Gary sings the first stanza. Leave your place and come. Be the first, not the second. Come now. Come talk to God about it. Say, I need this. I need to respond right. God, help me to respond right. Help me to respond right.
Hold me and make me after thy will.
It's not what happens, it's how you respond. That's the message. Just keep on singing, Brother Gary. God is working. God is moving. God is helping. God's dealing with people today. I like that. I like that.
Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
They're playing through softly. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'd like for several of our ladies in this church, Miss Pam Pruitt sitting right here, she's going through a major trial. Going through a major trial. I'd like many of you ladies to come right over here to my left. Just gather around her right there. I want you to pray. Miss Bernard, I'd like you to kind of lead that over there if you don't mind, because you've been through your own fires, your own trials. Won't you just grab her hand right there or something, or just get close to her and lead that group there in prayer, talking to God, helping her. Is there somebody at the altar say, Jody, I need help. I'd like somebody to pray with me. Is there somebody like that? Would you raise your hand if you're at the altar? You'd like somebody to pray with you? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're just about done. God is working here this morning. I want you to look right up here, please. Life is unfair sometimes. Life doesn't always seem fair. But all I'm saying to you is our God is bigger than anything that life throws at us. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And if life is unfair, don't blame God. That wasn't God's fault in Acts 16. They were lying about Him. That was sin that took place there. But in the midst of that wickedness that took place, that ungodliness that took place, they didn't respond wrong by turning it. God, what are you doing? What are you allowing this for? What's going on? No, they didn't respond there. They simply prayed, sang praises. God is good. God heard something in that inner prison that night. God said, I like that. Matter of fact, I like it so much, I'm just going to grab that prison and shake it tonight. And set them free. This is it. This is it. This is it. May the Lord engrave this on our heart and on our mind. This is what we're talking about. I'm going to change on you here. We're going to end this with the verse that we like, we love. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. That's page 166, I believe. This will be our closing prayer. God has met with us. May the Lord help us. I hope you mean this as you pray, as you sing. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Sing it from your heart to the Lord, will you? Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three. Help yourself. Praise God there at your seat. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. The Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each day. God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a great day. Try to be back tonight. That junior camp meeting for Mount Moriah is tonight after the service, not this morning. Hope to see you back in God's house this evening. God bless you. Have a great day.